Good morning. Before I begin, I would just like to take this opportunity to thank everyone for your many prayers as I went through heart surgery. So that was 3 months ago. My surgery, my recovery, everything has been going great. I feel very strong, and I attribute all of that to the power of prayer. And so with all my heart, I thank you for your prayers. So this Sunday is designated as World Mission Sunday. It was established in 1926 by Pope Pius XI. The primary focus, of course, is supporting missionary work for those who are called to build up the church in foreign lands, to be a transforming presence in the culture in which they're sent. So the question is, what about those of us who remain here at home? Because we too are called to be on mission. And so we very much are called to be missionaries, a people sent to transform the culture in which we live. But before we look into the gospel and break open the word, I'd like to share with you, I think, what is a very relevant story, something that was shared with me just yesterday as a lady who was a parishioner came outside after Mass. And so as she was revealing the story to me, I said, you need to send that to me because it is super relevant to this Sunday. And so I asked for permission, and she gave me permission to share this with you this morning. And so she wrote, last week after Sunday Mass, our doorbell rang and a sweet neighbor girl asked my 9-year-old daughter to play. She is a kind girl and a lovely family. My daughter said, I'd love to play, but I need to change out of my church clothes. The little girl looked confused and asked, what's church? My daughter responded, where we worship God. Then the little girl said, what is God? My daughter became shocked at this point and asked, do you know about Jesus, born in Bethlehem and all that stuff? She said, no, I don't. Who is he? And then she continues to write, in my youth, I remember hearing missionary stories of folks going to remote parts of the jungle to share the gospel of with those who have never heard his name. I never dreamed I would live in a time in middle-class America where I would find that situation just 2 doors away. So I think the point is extremely clear. We live in mission territory all around us. So now let us take a look at today's gospel. As Catholics and as Americans, we may feel that we have sort of 2 loyalties, right? I mean, clearly we've sworn an allegiance to our God through our baptism and an act of faith. And we have pledged our allegiance to our country as citizens. So this dual allegiance may cause some of us to feel a sort of tension, right? A tension that's pretty much created by the ongoing debate on the separation of church and state. Where does one loyalty end and the other one begin? Well, in today's gospel reading, we see how the Pharisees are deliberately trying to create that sort of tension when they ask Jesus if it's lawful to pay taxes to Caesar. So the intention of the question was to force, in some way, a choice between loyalties. But Jesus responds not by making a choice, but by making a distinction. And Jesus asked the disciples of the Pharisees to show him one of the coins that they would use to pay the taxes. And the image and the inscription on that Roman coin identified it as belonging to Caesar. At that time, it would have been Tiberius Caesar, who was the emperor of Rome. The distinction that Jesus is making is that the coin used for paying taxes has the signature of the owner. When Jesus tells them to give to God what is God's, he's not talking about material things. He's talking about eternal things. He's speaking to them about the very life and the very identity of the soul. For our soul bears within it the signature of the Creator. And we read that in Genesis. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. You see, the reason why Jesus didn't choose between one's duty to pay taxes and one's duty to give to God what is God's is because there really is no conflict between the two. We live in the world, and so we have a duty to be good citizens of the world. But we are created in the image of God, and through our baptism are inscribed with an indelible mark of Christ. And so we have a duty to live as Christians in the world. So how are we supposed to do that in our daily life? So I want to read to you an excerpt from a letter that was written in the mid-second century. It's a letter that was written by a pagan man named Diognetus. And it was thought that this person may have been the tutor of the Roman emperor, Marcus Aurelius. And the letter describes how a Christian lives out their life in the world. And so I quote, "I see, most excellent Diognetus, that you are exceedingly desirous to learn the mode of worshiping God prevalent among the Christians, and inquiring very carefully and earnestly concerning them, what God they trust in, and what form of religion they observe. Christians neither inhabit cities of their own, nor employ a strange dialect, nor lead a life which is marked out by any singularity. The course of conduct which they follow has not been devised by speculation or deliberation, nor do they proclaim themselves the advocates of any merely human doctrine. They follow the customs of the natives in respect to clothing, food, and the rest of their ordinary conduct. Yet they display to us their wonderful and confessedly striking method of life. They dwell in their own countries, but simply as sojourners. As citizens, they share in all things with others, and yet endure all things as if foreigners. Every foreign land is to them as their native country, and every land of their birth is a land of strangers. They marry as do all others. They beget children, but they do not destroy their offspring. They have a common table, but not a common bed. They are in the flesh, but they do not live after the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but they are citizens of heaven." Unquote. So, the life of a Christian is not unlike the life of any citizen. We grow up, we go to school, we get married, or maybe not. We have children, or maybe we don't. We work, we make money, we buy houses and pay bills, and we live out our life in the world that we're born into. But yet, the life of a Christian is not at all ordinary. It's not intended to be. For the life of a Christian is intended to be lived out according to the image and the will of God, rather than the image and the way of the world. Every question in life is ultimately a spiritual question. Even that simple question of, would you like to come out to play, that was asked by the girl next door, led to a discussion about the worship of God, about Jesus and his church. You see, God always will meet us where we're at. In a very excellent commentary on today's gospel, the author states that Jesus loves us so much that he never rejects our questions as being too worldly, no motivation as being too twisted, since he can use any given situation as a point of entry into every human heart. You know, of course, that Jesus already knew the questions that they were going to ask him. And scripture tells us that Jesus discerns the intentions and the thoughts of the heart. And so I have a simple task that I'm going to ask everyone to participate in. I'm going to ask you to just take a moment and close your eyes and look deep within and ask Jesus to reveal your heart to you. Ask, whose image and likeness do I most resemble? The world around me or the God who made me? You see, we are very good at masking who we are deep down. It's very easy to live on the surface of life. But even when we hide from ourselves, Jesus knows the truth of us. For God is the creator of the world and of the person, and both are good. It's often just that the order of importance gets mixed up. The world was created for the person, not the other way around. And we are created by God. And we are created for God. And so we belong to God. And even while we live out our missionary days on earth, our real home and our real citizenship is in heaven.